on. Let's remain standing tonight as we read the Word of God together. I have two places in the Bible that I'm going to be asking you to turn to in just a few moments and bring the thought that I feel like the Lord would have us to give you for tonight. I went home this afternoon and sat down and wrote down just a few little old feeble thoughts here from the scripture that I wanted to use for tonight. And when it's done, I'll be done. Amen. I may be done before it is. I hope not, but it's possible. You never know. I'm going to ask you to turn in two places in the Word of God, in Ecclesiastes chapter number 10, a verse of Scripture that I read this morning. It's right after the book of Proverbs, Ecclesiastes chapter number 10. And between Proverbs and Solomon, Song of Solomon. And then I want to ask you to turn also to the book of Exodus, chapter number 30 and verse 22. And I'll read Ecclesiastes first, one verse there. And then I'll be going to chapter number 30 in the book of Exodus. Ecclesiastes in chapter number 10 and verse 1, the Bible said, "Dead flies cause the ointment of the apothecary to send forth a stinking savor. So doth a little folly him that is in reputation for wisdom and honor." Then I want to read over in Exodus chapter number 30, please, if I may, and beginning in verse number 22, the Bible said, "Moreover, the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Take thou also unto thee principal spices of pure myrrh, 500 shekels, and of sweet cinnamon, half so much, even 250 shekels, and of sweet calamus, 250 shekels, and of cassia, 500 shekels, after the shekel of the sanctuary, and of oil, olive, and hin. And thou shalt make it an oil of holy ointment, an ointment compound after the art of the apothecary. It shall be an holy anointing oil. And thou shalt anoint the tabernacle of the congregation therewith, the ark of the testimony, and the table and all his vessels, and the candlestick and his vessels, and the altar of incense, and the altar of burnt offering, and the vessels, and the laver and his foot. Thou shalt sanctify them, that they may be most holy. Whatsoever touchest them shall be holy. Thou shalt anoint Aaron and his sons, and consecrate them, that they may minister unto me in the priest's office. Thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel, saying, This shall be an holy anointing oil unto me, throughout your generations. Upon man's flesh shall it not be poured, neither shall you make any other like it, after the composition of it. It is holy, and it shall be holy unto you. Whosoever compoundeth any like it, or whosoever putteth any of it upon a stranger, shall even be cut off from his people." And the Lord said unto Moses, "Take unto thee sweet spices." Remember how you pronounce this word? Stati, and onchia, and galbanum. "These sweet spices with pure frankincense, of each shall there be a like weight. And thou shalt make it a perfume, a confection, after the art of the apothecary, tempered together, pure and holy. Thou shalt beat some of it very small, and put of it before the testimony in the tabernacle of the congregation, where I will meet with thee. It shall be unto you most holy. And as for the perfume which you shall make, which thou shalt make, ye shall not make to yourselves according to the composition thereof. It shall be unto thee holy for the Lord. Whosoever shall make like unto that to smell thereof shall even be cut off from his people." Now may the Lord add his blessing to to the reading of that word. Let's go to the Lord in just a moment of prayer, okay? Our Heavenly Father, we're thankful for the song service tonight and for your people that are here. I certainly thank you, Lord, for this precious word. I pray you'll make it a blessing to us tonight and give us grace, divine help, and wisdom as we do our best to preach it. I realize, Lord, that there's more here than we had ever yet done in one service and do it justly. So I pray that you'd bless the words that are spoken. Use them for the glory and honor of God in redeeming lost souls and in blessing and helping God's people. And Lord, we want to honor you tonight. I'm here to honor you and magnify your name. I'm here to worship you tonight. And I pray that you'll take the word of God and open it up to us and give us understanding. Lord, that we might walk in thy ways and understand the righteousness of God and understand what it means to live a holy life for thee. I pray you'll bless those that are home and away from us, those that are sick, those that are unable to get here. We ask you to give them grace and divine help. Would you please revive the church? We need a touch of revival. Breathe on us, I pray, O God, and help us as only you can. And we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you now, and you may be seated. I want to take Ecclesiastes chapter 10 and verse 1 as our text verse this evening. It's there that the Bible says, dead flies cause the ointment of the apothecary to send forth a stinking savor. So doth a little folly him that is in reputation for wisdom and honor. Now, there are several things in this verse that I want to try my best to call to our attention tonight. Solomon here is trying to help us to understand, I think, the seriousness of folly in the lives of God's people. There's no doubt about it. And before, I don't want to get ahead of myself, but folly is no more than silliness and foolishness. And he said it ought not to be in the lives of those that are held in reputation, those that are held in reputation of wisdom and honor. He said it's like flies in the ointment of the apothecary. And it sends forth a stinking savor or a stinking odor, if I may put it that way. And so I think he's trying to help us to understand the folly of foolishness in the house of God or amongst the people of God. He uses something most holy and very sensitive to bring this truth to light. And I believe it would do us all good to put this truth to practice in each of our lives. I'm satisfied that it would. When I read that this morning and God said, that's what I want you to preach from tonight, I had to back off in the corner and cry, woe is me. And it's not my brother, my sister, my mother, my father, but I said, it's me, O Lord, in the need of prayer. Now, that is a tremendous verse of Scripture, if you really stop and give it some real consideration. But he talks about the flies that are in that ointment and how they send forth a stinking smell or a stinking savor. And then in the book of Exodus, chapter 30, Moses deals somewhat with that ointment. Now, I'm not going to take time to read every verse in it again, but he mentions several times that it is a holy anointing oil. And he says it's very holy. And so that ointment that those dead flies are in is something that is very holy. And a dead fly in something that's holy is not pleasant at all. It's got no place being there. It's easily detected. It sticks out like a sore thumb. And it does not do anything for the honor and the glory of God. And so it's very holy. And the Bible said that it's used only to anoint that which is consecrated unto the Lord. That simply means those things that are separated and dedicated unto the Lord. It is a holy anointing oil. And I should have written down all these verses But I hope that you'll forgive me because I didn't write them all down, but I mean the verses out to the side of them, but I've got the thought here. But he talks first of all about anointing with this oil, and I'll get to the rest of it in a minute. He talks about anointing the tabernacle of the congregation, and I believe that's in verse number 26. And thou shalt anoint the tabernacle of the congregation therewith. Now that tabernacle of the congregation is where the people of God met. And wherever the people of God met, that tabernacle was to be anointed with this holy anointing oil that was made in the apothecary. And it was most holy. And it was to anoint the tabernacle where God's people gathered together. Now, I don't want to get ahead of myself too far, but that holy anointing oil is a type of the Spirit of God. There's no doubt about that. And so what he's saying here is that the tabernacle there in the wilderness, God told Moses, said, I want you to anoint that tabernacle where God's people gather together. I want you to anoint that with the Spirit of God. And you know, I want to say to you and I that are here tonight, that should be our cry and our prayer to the Lord, that He would anoint the house of God with that holy anointing oil. You know why? Because we can do absolutely nothing, ladies and gentlemen, without the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit of God. Oh, I long for the day when the Spirit of God would hover in on this place one more time and anoint the house of God one more time to the place that you could experience the presence of the Lord when you come in the front door. That's right, anoint it with that holy anointing oil to make it a holy place. God forbid that there should be flies in the ointment that we anoint or in the house of God that has been anointed with that holy anointing oil. And according to our verse, flies can get in that ointment. Do you realize that there's things tonight, and I don't want to take any longer than I have to, but you realize there's things tonight that really grieve the Spirit of the living God, that He is the most sensitive person in all the world. He can be lied to. Ananias and Sapphira lied to the Holy Ghost. He can be grieved, according to Paul in the book of Ephesians. He can be grieved. He can be lied to. The Spirit of God, according to Paul in Thessalonians, can be quenched. Absolutely. And I'll tell you, He is the most sensitive person in all of this place. We talk about people walking around with chips on their shoulder. Well, they've just got a crow to pick. But the Spirit of God is a sensitive, delicate person. And I'm telling you, it doesn't take a great deal to grieve Him or to quench Him or to cause Him to withdraw His power and presence from the house of God. So God forbid that there should be flies in the holy anointing oil that's been anointed in the house of God. Now, if I can break that right on down and what we can understand, God help us tonight that there be no sin in the house of God that would grieve the Holy Ghost when we come together to worship Him in spirit and in truth. Hey, we can have all the truth that we want, and I believe the Baptists have gotten the truth of the Bible, but I'm telling you, truth without the Spirit, ladies and gentlemen, will do very little to help you and I in our Christian life for the glory and honor of God. It takes the Spirit and it takes truth both, amen, to bless and help the people of God in the house of God. So God forbid that there should be flies in the holy anointing oil, the apothecary, oil of the apothecary that has anointed this house of God. Then I want to say number two, and if I don't hurry, boy, well, I'm going to tell you, we'll be a long time getting down through here. He says, secondly, that the Ark of the Testimony, was also to be anointed with that holy oil. Now, I'm assuming he is talking about the Ark of the Covenant. Now, I could be wrong, but I don't think I am. That is that which is behind the veil. It has got to be anointed too. In other words, the Spirit of God is behind that veil. In fact, He is the only one that can open up that veil and let you and I into the presence of a holy God. Come on in the house now. May God help us that when we come into the presence of the Lord, amen, in the house of God, we come into His presence, that there's not flies in that anointing oil that is from the apothecary. I'm talking about S-I-N, sin in our hearts and lives that has polluted that oil, troubled that, grieved that oil, quench that oil until we find ourselves without the power of the Spirit of God in the house of God. I'm just telling you, without being anointed by the Holy Ghost, whatever it might be, you're not consecrated and you're not separated and you're not dedicated to the work of God.
Amen.
Amen. That's right. And so that ark was to be anointed. I say thirdly that the table, and I assume that to be the table of showbread, and all his vessels was to be anointed with that holy anointing oil. And then the candlestick and his vessels was to be anointed with that holy anointing oil. And then the altar of incense was to be anointed with that holy anointing oil. And the oil, and that, by the way, that altar of incense is a type of prayer. When that incense went up, it was a type of our prayers, of God, the prayers of God's people. Now you hear what I'm getting ready to tell you. When we come to pray, unless we're praying in the Holy Ghost, we're not going to get much accomplished. I believe it was Jude that talked about praying in the Holy Ghost, keeping ourselves in the love of God. Now I'm going to tell you what, folks, we're not going to love God much if we don't pray much. I believe the more we pray, the more we love, because the more we pray, the more we come in contact with Him, and the more fellowship we have with Him, the more light He gives us, the more He blesses us. Now I'm telling you, without that, amen, that we're not going to get far with God in prayer. Our prayers have got to be anointed by the Holy Ghost. We've got to have a little of that oil in our prayer life. Amen. And then that altar of burnt offering, that's talking about the altar out front where they offered all the sacrifices. And I don't want to get ahead of myself, but I'm going to. All these things in their entirety refer to the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, He is the anointed one of the Spirit of God. And that anointed altar, that burnt offering, is talking about Calvary. It's in reference to the cross that Christ died upon. Now, I want to bless the name of our God tonight, that when Jesus died upon Calvary, that the Holy Ghost anointed Him and anointed that cross of His sacrifice there on Calvary, hallelujah, with the oil of a holy God. It was anointed by the Spirit of God, ladies and gentlemen. You know why? Because Calvary was set apart for the work of God. Nobody else ever died on that cross to save sinners. Christ died on that cross to save sinners. He is the anointed one of God. By the way, God gave Him the Spirit without measure. Without measure. Can you get a hold of that? Without measure. You can't measure the Holy Ghost in the Lord Jesus. There's nothing to measure it with. He was always full of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
I believe He was full from birth right on up. You can believe whatever you want to believe. But I believe that. Then I want to say, too, the labor and the foot. Now, I can't get a hold of that foot. But I know what the labor was. It was where they washed before they went in to that tabernacle to worship. Anybody that went in there had to wash their feet in that labor. That labor is a type of the Word of God. Now I'm telling you, we've got an anointed book here tonight. My cousin got almost mad at me at my sister-in-law's funeral because he came up and started talking to me right off about the Bible. And he's got a new King James. And that new King James in Colossians 1:13 says, who hath conveyed us into the kingdom of His dear Son. The King James Bible said, who hath translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son. Friend, I can convey something, but I can't translate anything. You understand what the word translate means? The word translate means to take something that not somebody don't understand and give them an understanding of it. Hey, just like translating that Bible. I couldn't read Hebrew and Greek. Now, I'm going to tell you, it was translated into the English where I could write it. Now, I'm here to tell you, amen, when I was translated into the kingdom of His dear Son, God gave me a holy understanding of the Word of God. Somebody say amen right there. Amen. That's right. That book is a consecrated book, and it's a holy book. Now, I believe the King James Bible is the book, period. People believe what they want to believe. I believe that's the book. He said, Thy word is forever settled in heaven, O God.
Right.
You believe that? I do.
Yes, sir.
Amen. I don't believe in them RSVs and NIVs and all them other V's. I believe in the King James Bible, period. Inspired, infallible, inerrant, perfect, no mistakes. You can depend on it. Amen. It is the most concrete. It's the most concrete thing that we have in our world today is what that Bible has to say. Now, I'm going to tell you, you can build a life on it, you can build a church on it, and you can build your home on that Bible, and it will never let you down. That Bible is an unsinkable book. Hallelujah.
Amen.
They tried to burn it. They tried to drown it. They tried to degrade it. They tried to do it. But I'm going to tell you, just like a good soldier, it keeps on marching on. Hallelujah. And it will march on until you and I are called out of this world. Glory to God. Amen. And not only then, but it will go right on forevermore. That's right. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Are you going to tell me He's going to take something that is God and make different versions and translations of it? And you know some of them, all of them can't be right.
Amen.
When they got words that vary a great deal, and they do. They all of them cannot be right.
Right.
There's only be one of them can be right. That's just it.
Yeah.
And I believe we've got it.
Amen.
It's the oldest one I know of around that's been read from. It's the only Bible I know of that's been any revival out of. Come on now, that King James Bible, that brought revival to people. That King James Bible brought revival to churches before.
Amen.
Oh yeah, long ago. You better believe it. I'll tell you, that book's been around a while.
Yes, sir.
400 years that book's been around. Brother Woodard tells me they got one they're selling, celebrating the 400th anniversary of the King James Bible, and it's written in the Old English. Now, you better get your dictionary if you don't understand it. I'm telling you, the words in it, I'm telling you, it's got some words in it. I mean, they're the same words, but I'm going to tell you, they're not spelled with the same letters. For instance, public is spelled P-V-B-L-I-C. It's still on the old library in Scottsburg, Indiana. Public Library, P-V-B-L-I-C. That's the way the old King James translation spells it. And a lot of other words. Amen. That is right. Thank God. But I'm telling you, you can put them side by side. Whether it's got a V or a U, they both say public. Amen. No mistake. No error. And I'm going to tell you why. When God wrote it down, He anointed it by the Holy Ghost and set it apart as His Word. Amen. And it will stand. It has been standing and it shall stand for all eternity, that Bible will stand. Better believe it will. Amen. That labor, get in it, wash your feet, be good for you. Amen. And He said to anoint the foot of it. Man, that's a rough one, ain't it? Anointing the foot of that labor, I thought it'd have feet. It just said foot. Maybe it did have 4 feet and it said foot. I don't know. But I know more than what I believe about it. I believe it's got something to do with the washing of the feet in the upper room. If you had water in it, and the washing of the water of the Word of God, now I'm going to tell you, get out to get these feet of ours dirty out in the world. You got to get in the labor of the Word of God to get your feet clean.
Amen.
I believe that's why that little foot was anointed as well. Amen. Look here, we may go out in the world. Woo! Hey, we may go out in the world and get our feet dirtied a little bit, but I'm glad, thank God, they're anointed with the holy oil of the apothecary, And all they need is a little washing from the Word of God to clean them up again.
Amen.
Amen. That's right. Now, let me go on. There are some people that were anointed. Priests were anointed with this holy oil of the apothecary. Aaron, in verse number 30, said, "And thou shalt anoint Aaron and his sons and consecrate them, that they may minister unto me in the priest's office." And so every priest was anointed with that holy oil. And I say again that everything here represents Christ, all of it, every bit of it. He is our great high priest. He has been anointed for that position. There's nobody else can fill that position but Him. He is set apart for that position. He is our mediator between us and God. There's one God and one mediator between man and God, men and God, the man, Christ Jesus, and that's all, ladies and gentlemen. He's our intercessor there. You better believe He is. Amen to God. Hallelujah. So priests were to be consecrated with this oil. Can you imagine pouring holy anointing oil on the head of the Lord Jesus, on His Word, on His church, and having flies in it, being unclean, corrupt, unholy, filthy? Somebody said, "Oh, Brother Hall, I can't imagine that." Well, that's what Solomon said there. That's what Solomon said, is dead flies cause the ointment of the apothecary to send forth a stinking savor. So doth a little folly him that is in reputation for wisdom and honor. Amen. Now, I'm going to name some of them in just a minute. Prophets were to be anointed. God told Elijah, said, "Go down and anoint Elisha in your room." Elijah done just exactly that. He went and anointed Elisha to carry on in his place. Now, I won't say this on the authority of the Bible. There ain't a preacher worth a flip of a used booger that has not had that holy anointing of God upon his life and been set apart for the ministry. And I'm telling you, when God sets a man apart for the ministry, that is all he can do is the ministry. Somebody say amen right there. I'm not looking for a job. Amen. Don't want a job. I've got what I want. I'm doing what I'm called to do. I'm preaching the Word of God. That's what God has set me apart to do. And I'm glad that He not only set me apart to do it, but He anointed me to do it. And it wasn't with filthy oil. It was with pure anointing oil, the Holy Ghost of God, amen, that He anointed my soul with. Body, soul, and spirit. I want to say that not only the prophets, but kings were to be anointed. You know, Samuel anointed David with that holy anointing oil. And I want to say this too. God's people were to be anointed as well. God's people were to be anointed as well. I believe I could find that here and for you in just a minute. It said, verse 31 may be it. "Thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel, saying, this shall be a holy anointing oil unto me throughout your generations." And missed it there. But I'll find it. Let me find it here in just a minute. But it talks about the anointing of the people. And then they that toucheth it, it talks about. And that's talking about people. But I'm telling you, every man, woman, boy, and girl, every saved individual in this room tonight has got a responsibility to seek God in their life. That God may anoint you with that holy oil of the apothecary and set you apart for the work of the ministry. Brother, I'm telling you, when God called you and saved you, God called you to a service. Somebody said, "I'm not a preacher." I didn't say you was. But God has called us all to minister and the tabernacle. Come on now, in the house of God. These ladies have come in here and decorated this up. They put the picture of this good-looking man back here. I don't know who he is. They got a picture of him back here and a good-looking woman over on the other side of him. I don't know who put all these pictures in here, and got it all decorated and flowers and all that. But they've done what I can't do. Somebody said, "Well, we're not very important." You've done something I can't do. That's right. I can't even comb my hair. Much less decorating a building for a meeting. Or going out and buying food for a meeting. I can't do none of that stuff. I don't have the gift. Come on now. But I have got the gift of gab. So that makes me a good candidate to preach. Amen. That's right. And so those kings were to be anointed. David was anointed. God's people were to be anointed. That oil was not intended for fleshly use. Look at verse number 32. Upon man's flesh shall it not be poured, neither shall you make any other like it after the composition of it. It is holy, and it shall be holy unto you. Don't put it on the flesh. Are you listening to what I'm telling you? The Holy Ghost cannot work on the flesh of a saved person. Oh, no, it's meant for the spiritual man. Not this outward man, not this fleshly man, but that spiritual man, that inner man. Don't pour it on the flesh. One thing that we do not need in the house of God or in prayer meetings or in worship services is flesh. God knows there's enough flesh running around the way it is. And I'm not talking about nakedness. I am talking about spiritual things. I'm talking about nakedness. I'm talking about literal carnality when it comes to the Word of God. Come on now. God said, don't you anoint any flesh with that. I've seen people get up. A fella got up over there one night. And he said, I want to thank God. He said, I got saved reading the book, The Man in Black. I said, flesh. I've heard people get up and testify before, and I thought in my heart, flesh. They get up whining and crying around about this and about that. I say, flesh. You know what a testimony is? A testimony is you telling what God has done for you. That's what a testimony is. What God has done in your life. When somebody gets up and starts bragging on somebody else, I say, flesh. They get up and start bragging. I say, flesh. When they get up and start bragging on Jesus, I say, oil, Holy Ghost. Amen. Brag and tell me about Jesus. Don't brag on man. Brag on Jesus. There is no place in the house of God, the work of God, the service of God for fleshly carnality. It's no place for it. And the Holy Ghost cannot make it work. It won't work.
Amen.
I don't care how much oil you pour on it, it wouldn't work. It's flesh. And the old saying, flesh is flesh, is flesh is flesh, and that's that. Amen. And so, it's not intended for fleshly use. Now, no attempt should be made to duplicate it. Now, come on in the house for just a minute. You ever been in service and folks try to duplicate the Spirit of God? They try to work things up. I'm afraid I've probably been guilty of that. Try to work things up, and it ain't no more than flesh. And people are trying to duplicate the power of the Spirit of God. Oh, I've been in services before when they tried to duplicate the Holy Ghost of God and the work of God. I've been in meetings before, and I've seen preachers and evangelists stand behind that pulpit with some idea like this. Everybody look straight at me now. I want you to hear what I'm getting. Everybody look at me. Listen to what I'm getting ready to say. And they'll want every eye on them and every ear turned to them. And I'm going to tell you what, you can look on man all you want to look on man. You can listen to man all you want to listen to man. But I'm telling you who you better be looking for and listening to is the Spirit of God, ladies and gentlemen. Hey, men to God, I tell you what, there's nobody ever been saved, nobody ever been blessed, nobody ever been helped apart from the Holy Ghost of God. We have got to have that holy anointed oil in the house of God, on the services of God, on the people of God. Somebody say amen. I know that's right. Amen. That is exactly right. You can't duplicate it. The Lord said, if you duplicate it, He said, what might happen to you is, He said, you might get turned out. Amen. No attempt should be made to duplicate it. It was in like manner a perfume that was to be made, according to verse number 35. Thou shalt make it a perfume, a confection, after the art of the apothecary, tempered together, pure and holy. So it was in like manner a perfume that was made that sent up a sweet-smelling odor. That's why he said dead flies, not just flies, dead flies. In the ointment of the apothecary sendeth forth a stinking savor. Dead flies in that oil. robbed it from its odor. I'm going to tell you something. God sits on His throne. There's a verse in Song of Solomon that talks about that little bride being under the table, worshiping the Lord. And said her worship ascends up to Him at the table like a sweet-smelling savor. But I'm going to tell you something, buddy. You get in a church trying to work things up in the flesh. You're trying to worship God in the flesh. And there's no odor going up. There is an odor going up, all right, but it stinks. It stinks. It smells like rotten dead flies in the nostrils of God. Amen. Come on now. Amen. That's right. And I'm going to tell you that perfume was meant to anoint and perfume the place where God met with His people. Oh, wouldn't it be a wonderful thing to come in the house of God and have a sweet aroma of the Lord in this place? Somebody said, you talking about... No, I'm not really talking about smelling God. You know exactly what I'm talking about. You've come to church before and things have been just different, and everybody's heart has got the right... People come with the right attitude and the right frame of mind. They're thinking, their minds are focused upon Christ, and they're not thinking about the world, or they're not thinking about... They didn't come to get out. They come to get in, come to get something from God, and things are just so much different. I'm telling you that that's exactly what He is talking about here, and things are so much different in the house of God. It is like a lovely perfume. My wife... let me just change that. I use my wife. Benny come in. I forget, it's been years ago. And our pillows were laying there on the bed or something or another. I forget exactly how it was. And he come in, he walked in our bedroom, and he said, and he laid down on our bed, and he said, I bet you I can tell you which pillow's mama's. He laid his head on one pillow and went, he laid his head on the other pillow and went, he said, this one's mama's. I said, how do you know? He said, I can smell her perfume. Now, I'm going to tell you, folks, it makes a difference when you come into the house of God and there is an odor of a sweet smell. There's worship going up. People have been anointed by the Holy Ghost. They've had that oil of the apothecary anoint them. Amen. And there's an odor of a sweet smell rising up before God. But if they come in the house of God, if we come in the house of God with sin in our life, amen, with iniquity in our life, with hatred or animosity in our heart, I'll tell you, it'll not be a sweet smell. It'll be like a dead fly in the oil of the apothecary, and it will stink in the nostrils of God. Amen. I'm telling you, God hates lying. Amen. God hates animosity. God hates hatred. Better believe that's right. Amen. Now, this also was not intended to duplicate for the natural man to smell. Notice verse number 38. The Bible said, whosoever shall make like unto it to smell thereunto shall even be cut off from his own people. And this is not my notes. They're Schofield's, and I think this is one time he is right, and that's why I'm using it. He said in number 3 at the bottom of his page there, what is condemned here is making worship a mere pleasure to the natural man, whether sensuous, as in beautiful music, to please the ear, or eloquence, merely to give delight to the natural mind. Now I'm telling you, there's some, amen, that's right. It's not a, whosoever shall make like unto it to smell. In other words, try to make something, duplicate it, but you can't duplicate it just right. But what it turns out to be, it turns out to be a sensual, worldly mess that you get yourself into in the house of God. That's exactly right. Something to try to please a natural man. Now, I'm going to tell you, there's a whole lot more of that going on today. Buddy, I'm telling you, I've never seen in my born days, people go to church and they think they've got to have some kind of highfalutin music. And I like good music. Man. They got to have fine buildings. Now, I wouldn't mind to have a new building. But I'm going to tell you something, folks. We need more than anything else is a holy God. And what people have done, they have replaced some of these things for God. They bumped God out and they worship their music and they worship their building more than they worship God. And they're worshiping in the flesh and in the natural man. And it's absolutely accomplishing nothing at all whatsoever in their life. That's exactly right. I can tell you that's exactly right. Now, this ointment was very precious and put forth a very sweet odor in John. You know the story there. I won't take but a minute to read that if I may. But in John 12, the Bible said, "Then Jesus, 6 days before the Passover, came to Bethany, where Lazarus was, which had been dead, whom he raised from the dead. There they made him a supper, and Martha served, but Lazarus was one of them that sat at the table with them. Then took Mary a pound of ointment of spikenard, very costly, and anointed the feet of Jesus." And by the way, it is very costly. "And anointed the feet of Jesus, and wiped his feet with her hair, and the house was filled with the odor of the ointment." Hey, it is precious to begin with. Oh, how precious the presence of the Spirit of God is to His people. If we could ever get that in our heart and settle down in our soul, that's the Spirit of God only. The Bible said when He has come, Jesus said, He will glorify Me, for He will not speak of Himself, but He shall speak of Me. I'm going to tell you, only the Holy Ghost of God can glorify, the Holy Ghost can glorify Jesus. And brother, I'll tell you, we need Him in the house of God to magnify Christ to our hearts and give us an understanding of the Lord. Amen.
Amen.
That's right. And it's precious. It's precious. And it's very sweet. It's got a very sweet odor. The Bible said its odor filled the whole house. Y'all smell anything around here tonight? I do. Stinking flies. Dead flies. Now, I'm afraid they're in the oil, the ointment of the apothecary. I'm going to tell you, we're lacking. We're not only lacking, we're losing. We're not only losing, we're going downhill at a rapid pace. Now, I'm going to tell you, there's a problem. Somewhere there is a problem. Whether it be apathy, whether it be complacency, whether it be a lack of desire, and that goes with Him. Whether it be whatever it might be. Maybe it's me, maybe it's you. But I'm going to tell you, we're responsible to God to find out whatever the problem is and correct it if it is correctable. That's right. I'm telling you, souls depend on it. Families depend on it. If I knew it was me, I'd leave here tomorrow. I mean that. I wouldn't want to do anything in my life to hinder any family in here from having the power and the presence of God and the blessings of God upon your life. You know why? I see you and I see these little ones and my heart goes out to you. I love you, believe it or not. Some of you don't believe that, but I do. And my heart goes out to you. I mean, it goes all the way out to you. And I'm telling you, some of the children I know, some of the young people that I know, I'm telling you, I'm afraid they got real problems in their life. They got real problems. And until they get those problems settled, I'm not so sure that some of them's not what's dragging down the church service. And I'm going to tell you why. Because they've got mommy and daddy drugged down so deep in the muck and the mire that mommy and daddy can't see out of it. They're so tied up worrying about their children and what's going to happen to them that they can't get interested in God. Have you ever thought that maybe if you got interested in God, that God would take care of the rest of it for you?
Amen.
And He will. He has and He will, friend. That's right. Great peace have they whose minds are stayed upon the Lord. Somebody say amen right there. Now, I got to move on. This ointment, as I've said, is a type of the Holy Spirit. And as flies in the ointment of the apothecary send forth a stinking savor, so doth the folly of these, of those who are saved. That's clear in our text tonight. I want to read that again. Dead flies cause the ointment of the apothecary to send forth a stinking savor. So doth a little folly him that is in reputation for wisdom and honor. He is showing a parallel here and trying to reveal a truth to us by making both of these statements, and they go together. They're alike. In other words, dead flies in the oil ointment of the apothecary that stinks, so does a little folly. It stinks. It stinks in those that are held in reputation and wisdom and honor. If they got folly in their life, The Bible, when I read that part of it this morning, I'm going to be honest, I like to swallow my teeth, what few of them I have. Folly. I looked it up in Strong's. It's silliness. It's foolishness. And what Solomon is saying is here, it's foolishness and it's silliness for somebody that's supposed to be wise and somebody that's in an honorable position and somebody, amen, and somebody who is held in reputation to have folly in their life. Now I thought about how much more held in reputation could we as the children of God be. And I'll get to that in just a moment. But those flies are said to be dead flies. Dead flies are corrupt flies. And corrupt flies stink. And they are found in something they are not supposed to be in. And that's that anointing oil. Stay with me. The folly, in like manner, is found in something or someone where it is not supposed to be. I'm telling you, there oughtn't to be folly. There oughtn't to be foolishness. There oughtn't to be silliness in those of us that are held in reputation. People that are supposed to have wisdom. People that are in places of honor. How much more honorable can we be than to be saved by the grace of God, to be a child of God? Amen. That's the most honorable thing in all the world, is to be born again into the family of God. Amen, Brother Hall. I'd rather be in the family of God than any other family I know.
That's right.
Amen. Ain't a family on the earth that I'd rather be a member of than the family of the living God. Amen. We are supposed to be the honorable, the wise, and those that are held in reputation. But I'm telling you, if there's flies in that holy anointing oil, if there's folly in that holy anointing oil, friend, I'm just here to tell you, we're not held in too much reputation. We're not held in high esteem. We stink in the nostrils of other people. Amen. Now, I won't say this. It's about me. It ain't about you. And I guess I can talk about me if I want to. I'm me. But my brothers and I, we just got this thing. We get together, buddy. All we know how to do is cut up. I mean, joke and carry on. And foolishness just leads to more foolishness to more foolishness. And I'm going to tell you, when I read that, it troubled me. I said, Lord, I oughtn't be doing that. I'm a pastor. Hey, let me just give you this. Folly is silliness and foolishness in those that are in reputation for wisdom and honor. I started out with a preacher. A preacher's in a place of reputation. And he ought to be a man of wisdom and a man of honor. I'm going to tell you, that preacher that is continually carrying on with a pack of nonsense and a pack of foolishness and silliness, I'm just telling you right now, he's sending forth a stinking smell to all those that are around him. God, help us tonight.
Amen.
I'm going to tell you, most preachers I know are guilty of that. You can get around a bunch of preachers and other craziest backs and a bunch of idiots I've ever seen in my life. Talk and carry on. That's right. We ought to be sober-minded. That is exactly right. Paul said, when I was a child, I spake like a child. I acted like a child in some way. And he said, when I became a man, he said, hey, wait a minute. I put away childish things. He said, I grew up a little bit. I become sober-minded, become a man, put away those things. Those foolish and silly little things. I put them away. And I'm going to tell you, it's not just talking about foolish jesting and talking. It's talking about foolish things, how we act in our spiritual life. I'm amazed at people. It seems like the harder that you labor to get things right in the house of God, sometimes the worse things get. That's right. Are you listening to what I'm saying? Now I'm telling you, people can get ticked over some of the stupidest, silliest little old things I've ever seen in my entire life. May God have mercy on us. That's right. People can get ticked and upset, get their toe over the line over some of the silliest little old things. That's foolishness. We ought to grow up a little bit.
Amen.
We ought to be able to have some wisdom about us, some understanding about us. Come on. Stop acting so foolish about some things. Amen. That's right. I thought about the people of God. Of course, ain't none of you like that. I know everybody out there's got pin feathers. I'm the only one that don't. People. But I'm telling you, people can act in foolish ways too. People, come on now. People that are saved can get themselves out on a limb financially. They can get themselves out on a limb with females. They can get themselves out on a limb with men. They can get themselves out on a limb with lust and covetousness. And hey, they can even begin to get beside themselves when they see the wicked in prosperity, is what it said in Psalm 73. They get perturbed and upset because somebody else has got something they don't have. Come on now. Can I tell you something else? Politicians ought to be held in reputation. Stinking politicians make me sick. They send forth a stinking odor. Then he owned, I don't have a TV, but I do have the internet. I saw a thing the other day, said Donald Trump speaks in Nevada, Las Vegas. I said, well, I wonder what he's got to say. When I turned it on, within less than 30 seconds, he had used a four-letter word four times, and I said, that's enough! I wouldn't vote for that man, but God, I'd rather... Hey, I won't say that. Some of y'all are getting mad at me. Amen. I'd rather see Daniel here as president than I would him. I'm going to tell you, a man that is held in reputation, that has got a cussing, vulgar vocabulary, has no business in the White House. I'm going to tell you, if his vocabulary tells me anything at all about what kind of a man he is, he ain't going to make no president. And he ain't the only one. There have been some others that was caught on tape, didn't know they was on there, made some bad statements they ought not to make. Politicians, they send forth, as far as I'm concerned, a stinking smell. You know why? They've got folly, foolishness, silliness in them. That is exactly right. I thought about these politicians. I thought about presidents. God help us. I'm lining them all with a P now. You can't get on me for that. I'm lining them all up with a P. But presidents, I heard our last president make a statement to Tony Blair once, and I thought, Lord, how on heaven's name can that man call himself a Christian? And I voted for him. But I said, how in heaven's name can that man call himself a Christian and use that language? Hey, as wine is not becoming to a king is what Lemuel's mother said about him. I'm telling you, a vulgar mouth and a vulgar mind is not becoming to a president, a politician, to the people of God, or to a preacher either.
That's right.
They're to be held in reputation. That's right. Now, then I thought about that foolishness. There's foolish talking, and it stinks. The Bible said in Ephesians 5, 1 through 4, be ye therefore followers of... Is that 5? Chapter 5, verse 1 through 4, be ye followers of God as dear children, and walk in love, as Christ hath loved us, hath given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as become a saint, neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. Foolish jesting. Boy, boing, 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 boing. Foolish talking. Boing, 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 boing. I don't know about you, but that bothers me. When I read that this morning, that's the first thing I thought about. God, have mercy on my soul. I'm guilty. Are you man enough to say you're guilty? I'm guilty. And I want to get it right. I think we're all going to have to get it right. But you go to funerals and all people do is stand around and laugh. See, maybe one or two people shedding a few tears and everybody else laughing and giggling, cutting up and telling jokes and acting like a bunch of morons. No remorse. Show no compassion to the family. Are you listening to what I'm saying?
Right.
Laughing and giggling. Even other preachers laughing and giggling and carrying on. I'm telling you, it's terrible. Come on in the house now.
Amen.
Foolish talking. It stinks. What about foolish questions? The Bible said over in the book of 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse number 23, Paul said, "But foolish and unlearned questions avoid, knowing that they do gender strifes." Foolish and unlearned questions avoid. You know what they do? They stir up strife. Just like my cousin come to me. Well, he said, "What about this Bible stuff? The King James Bible. What do you think about it being the only Bible?" I told him exactly how I felt about it. You know what it did? When he walked by the casket and shook my hand, he turned his head the other way. I'm talking about my cousin. And I'm 70-some years old. I've known him a long time. You know why he turned his head? Because he got involved in a foolish question. And what it done was it stirred up strife rather than bringing peace. It stirred up strife rather than prospering in love. It stirred up strife rather than bringing peace. I'm just telling you, hey, it'll never work. Avoid those questions. What about foolish thoughts? Proverbs chapter number 24 and verse number 9. Boy, I'm telling you, we're getting there somewhere now. Proverbs 24 and verse number 9. I believe that's it. Proverbs 24 and verse number 9. The Bible said, "The thought of foolishness is sin, and the scorner is an abomination to men." The thought of foolishness. Brother, I'm telling you, that's not even the act. That's the very thought of it. That is that thing back here before it ever comes out in motion and action up here. The very thought of foolishness is sin. What the book says. God, help us to guard our thoughts and keep them pure and holy before the Lord. Come on in the house now. May I say to you that a foolish woman is clamorous. Proverbs 9:13. Proverbs 9 and verse number 13. A foolish woman is clamorous. She is simple and knoweth nothing. Boy, men, you ought to be jumping up and down. A clamorous woman. You ever been around one of them? Boy, I've seen a lot of them. And I'm going to tell you that most of them I've seen, they love to pull authority over a man. They love to usurp their authority over a man. They want you to know who they are. That they've arrived. They're somebody. They've done graduated from the University of Underwood. They've got their degree too. They've done got out in the workforce, and they're somebody. So I'm going to tell you what they are. They need to be at home in the house where God said they ought to be. Come on, I won't charge none for that. We want to wonder why God don't bless us the way God ought to bless us, the way we think God ought to bless us. Maybe it's because that we've done exactly that. That we've left the home and went out into the workforce. Ladies, come in the house. Amen. Now, a foolish son is heaviness to his mother. Foolish son is heaviness to his mother. But where does this foolishness come from? One more verse of Scripture and I'm done. Mark chapter number 7. Mark chapter number 7. One more verse and I'm done. Okay? Oh, I thought I could find it. Mark chapter number, maybe I didn't write it down. Mark chapter number 7. Maybe I didn't use a marker in it. Mark chapter number 7. I think it's in the Bible. Mark chapter number 7. And let's begin reading. Oh, verse 17. When he was entered into a house from the people, his disciples asked him concerning the parable. That is the parable of eating with unwashed hands. And he said unto them, "Are ye so without understanding also? Do you not perceive that whatsoever thing from without entereth into a man, it cannot defile him? because it entereth not into his heart, but into his belly, and goeth out in the draught, purging all meats. And he said, that which cometh out of the man, that defileth the man. For from within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. Out of the heart. That's where it comes from, folks. And I'm going to tell you what it is. As dead flies in the oil of the apothecary is a stinking savor in the nostrils of God, so are those that are held in reputation and wisdom and honor that have folly in their lives. Let's stand together. I've said all I can say, I believe.